Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Thank you for being a faithful listener to this ministry, to this broadcast that exposes the Word of God, that expounds on the Word of God, and that extends the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know Him in the pardoning of their sin. Thank you again for tuning into this broadcast for our part four of this teaching series, It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. And I tell you, the challenges of this world, the struggles in this world can be such a burden on our hearts. Just looking at TV and listening to what may be going on from day to day, hour by hour, on the news, or just in your personal circle. And it just seems to be such a heavy burden on your heart. And when we have challenges that come day by day or hour by hour, Scripture tells us that we are to fall on our knees and cry out to our God, Jehovah God, God Almighty, that we are to cry out to Him, and He will give us a peace. He will provide us the strength. He will lead us down paths of righteousness, and He will wipe away our tears. Through the comfort of His Word, through the assurance of His love, God Almighty is the one that we cry out to in times of struggle, in times of need, and in times of uncertainty. So I just wanted to share that with you before we look into our last point in this teaching series, It's Not Complicated, Look Alive. Before we begin, I would like to bless the Lord in a prayer of worship. If you would, brothers and sisters, partner with me, touch and agree with me as we go to the throne of grace in prayer, and we will just lift up a prayer of worship to our God. So pray with me. Lord God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread, as you continue to provide for us on a daily basis. We just exalt you today for what you have done already. We glorify you today because of what you're doing right now. And we give you all the praise and honor for what you have prepared for us eternal. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, who was bruised for our iniquity, pierced in the side, whose blood covered our sin, who was buried and rose again. And we know that He lives and sits with you in heaven on your right hand side. Thank you, Lord God, for being the God of heaven and earth. We glorify you today. We lift you up on high today. And we lift up holy hands to you today. You are our priest. You are the Redeemer. You are the God that brings peace in a dark world, peace in our dark places. You are the light of the world, and we sing hallelujah to your holy name. We exalt you, we glorify, we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for being a faithful listener. Now we're going to get right into this beautiful lesson that is a blessing to our soul. So I implore you to come ready, willing, and able to a banquet table of grace and a banquet table of blessing through the very pages of the Bible, God's Word. So if you will, prepare your heart, open your Bible, and we will look at, in particular, some verses. And I want you to jot down these scriptures before we dig in. And we're going to walk through John 20, verses 1 through 10. Then we're going to look at Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And then lastly, we will look at 1 Corinthians 15. And then we're going to read through verses 12 through 19. So if you have not been following this particular teaching series, It's Not Complicated, Look Alive, I encourage you to go back to the first three parts of this teaching series and listen to them, and then you can bless your soul with what the Lord has revealed to us through those particular tracks in this series. And we've been looking at Jesus Christ on the cross. And we went from his death to his burial, and then we're looking at his resurrection. So I just encourage you to take a look back at those particular teaching tracks so you can make sure that you don't miss any of the richness that the Holy Spirit wants you to know as you grow and go in grace. So before I start, I want us to understand this. Jesus is our Redeemer. He has paid the price so we can go free. He paid the price. The price of sin is death. And Jesus paid the price that you will live forever. 1 Corinthians 15, as I indicated, we'll look at that. In Romans 6, 1 and 4, we'll look at those verses as well. But our sin is buried through Christ and rose in newness of life, a regenerated life, a born-again life. Does your life reflect the old lifestyle or a new lifestyle in Christ? Remember, he paid for our sin. We will be set free from eternal damnation. What that is death, eternal death, the second death, hell. He paid the price on the cross that we will be set free from eternal damnation. And as you revisit the other tracks, you will see how we are set free. Now, I encourage you, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that today, at this very moment. For this is the day that the Lord has made for you to come to know Him. As a sinner who can be saved by grace, as long as you are willing in your heart and you believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for you, that His blood ran down to cover your sin, that you will have a right to the tree of life, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the life-giving tree, that you will be saved, born again, and live eternal. Not eternal damnation, but eternal in eternity. We know that is heaven. So before I move into this last teaching series, I want to pray a prayer of salvation for you. And brothers and sisters, again, if you would partner with me and lift up somebody that the Holy Spirit may have revealed to you at this very hour, call them out by name. Lift them up in prayer. Shower them with a prayer of salvation, that God will do the rest. We plant seeds of prayer. God sends others to water. He brings the increase. So, with your heart, believe by faith and repeat after me the words, but it's your heart that you are lifting up to God. So let's pray, brothers and sisters, and those who may not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I encourage you to pray and repeat after me. Lord God, I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. Lord, I ask right now that you would save me. As I lift up my hands to you, with my whole heart, I surrender my life to you. I believe by faith that you died on the cross for my sin, that I would receive you by faith, and I do. That God saved me by His amazing grace, and He did. I know I love you, and I ask that you would sit on the throne of my heart, that I will live with you eternally. This is my humble prayer and my desire, that I live with you eternally. Lord, I repent of my sin. I desire to turn away from everything that puts shame to your holy word. Change my life on the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me. And you, brother or sister, who has now accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church. A Bible teaching church that teaches you about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that you would be baptized by submersion of water, buried in sin, but you arise in newness of life, born again believer. That you now tell everyone and everybody that you are a Christ follower. Praise the Lord. And then when you have been baptized, that you would seek out in your church a Sunday school class or a adult Bible fellowship small group, and that you would be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace, that you would tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the body, and we will continue to pray and as you grow in grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now let's look at our lesson, and we're going to look at the last point. Last broadcast, we were looking at point two. He was buried, and a little thumbnail sketch of what discussed in that teaching track was the sin that was buried when Jesus was buried in the tomb. We looked at the scriptures. Actually, we looked at all the four gospels in the lesson for point two. He was buried. We looked at the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Luke, Mark, and Matthew, and we read specific passages in those particular gospels that paralleled concerning the burial of Jesus Christ. He was buried, and how they were so spot on in the same but different. Each writer wrote a little more vivid color concerning the burial of Jesus. And so we looked at that in detail, and then we also looked at, in comparison to us today, we looked at how what Jesus took to the grave, to the tomb, the sin of the world in his burial. And as the two disciples buried him in a borrowed tomb, and how he was prepared for burial in the way that the Jews prepared a body, with spices and perfumes in the preparation of the body. But one point I wanted to pick back up on, and I wanted to look at in detail, is who was there and what they saw. And this is very significant with us. I talked about how the sin that Jesus took to the tomb, our sin, and I looked at some of those sin in particular. And then I also looked at, or we looked at, what counteracts or what should be buried in the tomb, put to death, and what should be living alive, growing within us now as a believer in Christ Jesus. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And I brought those to light on last broadcast. So I encourage you to make sure you go back and listen to that. So I want to pick up with the witnesses that were there that were listed in the Gospels. Now, not every Gospel indicates that there were more witnesses there at the burial of Jesus when he was put in the borrowed tomb by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But I want to look at those who were there in addition to those two. So as we've read, I want to pick up and reread in a particular gospel, and that is in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and I want to read a specific verse. John, and we're going to look at chapter 19. So if you would walk with me to John 19, and we're going to look this, skim down to verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews, the Jewish leaders, with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. Now, I want to stop there. In this particular gospel, we're going to stop at verse 40. Now let's go to the gospel of Luke, and we're going to read in Luke, we're going to read this in chapter 23, Luke 23, and we're going to start in verse 50. I just finished reading John 19, verses 38 through 40. Now we're in Luke 23. Verse 50. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not contested to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had came with him out to Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. And last broadcast, I went into a little detail concerning the Sabbath and how they rested. But what I want to point out in this particular gospel is verse 55. Verse 55 in this particular gospel gives a little more detail. It says, now the women who had came with him out to Galilee followed and saw the tombs and how his body was laid. And we're going to stop there. So verse 55 gives a little more detail in comparison to John 19, verses 38 through 40. In John, he talks about him and Nicodemus, doesn't mention the other witnesses that saw Jesus die on the cross and how his body was taken down and carried to the borrowed tomb that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. But in this epistle, Luke, it indicates now the women who had come with him out of Galilee and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Now, these were followers of Jesus Christ. They came with him, meaning Jesus. They followed him. And they saw, and that's the point I want to make. They saw him how he was on the cross. They saw him how he was laid in the tomb. So now let's look at this same point, and we're going to cross-reference this in the book of Mark. So let's go to Mark 15. Mark 15, and we're going to start with verse 40. Well, let's start with 42. I stand corrected. We're going to start with 40 because this is where the women are mentioned in the epistle, and we're Mark 15, and we're going to start with 40. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joash, and Solomon. Now, as you see here in the book of Mark, he mentions Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. In Galilee, these women, verse 41, in Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Talking about Jesus. These women followed him, they walked with him, they sat with him, and they cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Now, Mark indicates many more witnesses, and it's mentioned because important for witnesses to be present, especially back in this time, in this day and age, because of what the religious leaders were trying to do with Jesus. They were trying to get rid of him. They didn't want people to speak about him. They did not want to hear the name of Jesus. They were threatened by Jesus, the way that he taught, what he was trying to do according to their mind. And so it was important for there to be witnesses, more than just two, Joseph and Nicodemus. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Now, again, this is just letting us know that they wanted to make sure Jesus was dead. Pilate was surprised, and so he summoned the centurion. He asked him if Jesus had already died, verifying. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, a little more detailed here, wrapped it in the linen and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Placed Jesus' body in the tomb cut out of rock. Now, it says, then he rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. And verse 47, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joas, saw where he was laid. That is a very important verse in the book of Mark. They saw. So we saw this in John. We saw this in Luke, not mentioned in John, but Luke and Mark mention the other witnesses. Saw where he was laid. And then lastly, we're going to look at Matthew. So if you would, cross-reference to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and we're going to look at verse 57. And it reads this way. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. So did Nicodemus. They became disciples of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Now, he's just a little more detailed. He indicated that these two Marys were sitting opposite the tomb. So we saw in Matthew, Mark, and we also saw in Luke how the women saw what they saw. When they saw Joseph and Nicodemus placing the body in the tomb. Now, why am I making this a point? Because as I indicated in the second point of this teaching series, he was buried. They were witnesses to what they saw and how they placed him in the tomb. They took part in bringing aloes and perfumes to prepare his body, spices to prepare his body. They took part in that to help prepare Jesus, this body, for, in their mindset, mummification. And they did according to the Jewish tradition in preparing a body for death. And so they wrapped him in linen cloth. But my point is, they saw. They saw him on the cross. They saw the body being taken down, and they saw the body being placed, the tomb, positioned. And they became witnesses, in addition to many others. But they are mentioned in Scripture. And I just believe they are mentioned to prove that he was buried, that he was placed there and not disturbed. Now, how does that correlate with our life today? How does that specific piece of information that they saw him buried in the tomb and he was laid inside, how does that relate to us today as believers in Christ Jesus, as a lifestyle? Now, as I introed this particular teaching lesson, I said, as a regenerated new believer, does your life reflect the old lifestyle or a new lifestyle in Christ? So how does this compare? Now, we understood in the teaching series, teaching 1, 2, and 3, we understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, the sin of the whole world. And he died on the cross that we will have life eternal. And he was buried for a purpose. And, of course, our last point, he rose, is the purpose. He resurrected is the purpose. But I want to focus in on they saw. And when we, as believers in Christ, live a lifestyle that runs alongside sinful nature, that is on the wide road of destruction, then people will point fingers and say, you have not changed. You are still on the cross. You are still living a lifestyle that is on a road that is wide and destructive. When we do not let go of the sin that keeps us on the cross, at the foot of the cross, that keeps Jesus on the cross, then we continue in what we should not do. We are unrepentant. We should not be living in a lifestyle that shows the sinfulness that the sins that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and laid in a tomb. Those sins were buried in the tomb, and witnesses saw him placed in the tomb. And those same witnesses see you today. And if your lifestyle is old, then it's time for you to go to the foot of the cross and ask for forgiveness and turn from that sinful style and walk afresh a new straight and narrow path. For the sins, they're wide, but they're destructive to us. But the straight and narrow road It's not wide, it's narrow, but they are a blessing to us. And of course, I talked about that last broadcast concerning the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And I made mention of some of that bad fruit that keeps us on that wide road of destruction. And they don't have to be sin that commits murder. It doesn't have to be sin that has committed adultery. It can be sin of greed. It can be sin of deceitfulness. It could be sin of an untamed tongue. Sin that cannot control anger. Sin as simple as a bad attitude, impatience. Jealousy is common. Slander, talking about people behind their back. Even idolatry. Some ladies have a closet full of shoes, purses, clothing, and we can make these things little gods in our lives. Guys, men may have fine cars, they have money and prestige or titles within the job or recognition. And those things become little gods, little G-O-Ds in our lives. That is sin, sins of thought. Thinking of things may not utter off your tongue, but they're in your mind. That is sin, and we confess it today. Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the whole world, and it was buried. It was done. He paid the price on the cross for our sin. But the more sin that we commit, we put him back on the cross. And witnesses that saw his body placed in the tomb, and they saw with their own eyes how you still do with what you do. And those witnesses are the ones that I wanted to bring out in Scripture, is that they saw him placed. Do these witnesses see you carry out a sinful way, lifestyle, that you say was buried in the tomb? New lifestyle, born again, regenerated lifestyle, mindset, word choice. These are the things that show that Jesus got up out of that grave. And we'll look at that in the scriptures when they woke up the next day. And they went to the tomb. Those witnesses, they saw him buried. They saw him brought down. They saw him buried. They saw him placed. And when they woke up after the Sabbath, Sunday, early Sunday morning, they saw something changed. Something took place. How does that compare to you and me? When we say we have confessed that we are a sinner and we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we get up walking a new, regenerated, born-again life, then change should take place. Why? Because of the witnesses. The witnesses see you and me. Just as they saw Jesus placed in the tomb, and as we will read, he resurrected from the tomb. And this is what I wanted to show, continue in the second point. He was buried because the witnesses are very important in our life. Some witnesses we may not like because they may call us out concerning a sin or sins that we are committing. But our God in heaven sees everything we do. He exposes light in dark places. And if there are some dark areas in the crevices of your heart, in your mind, in your speech, thought, word, and deed, God will expose those that regeneration will continue to take place in your life. This is called love. He uses struggles in our life. He wants us to come to repentance in our life of everything known and unknown. He wants us as a body and as a nation to come together and repent, turn from our wicked ways, cry out to him. He will bless our nation as well as his people. But the buried sin have been buried in the borrowed tomb. And as believers, we are to die to that daily. We are to leave it dead. And when it is committed, we confess it immediately as sin. Turn from it. That it would be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness forever. With God, he does that for you and me. So, buried our sins, yes, he did, in that tomb, that the fruit within us as believers in Christ Jesus would be produced through suffering, through struggles, that the fruit will be produced, and that is the character of God. What are those fruit? The fruit that God wants us to show forth that falls from our mouths, from our lifestyle, from our mindset is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, just to name a few. The fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce within you, brothers and sisters, that it would come and through you for others to see Christ in you. So I wanted to make that point because I just thought it was very valid that the witnesses hold to the truth. Yes, I did see. And God will use people in our lives to hold us accountable for how we think, how we talk, word choices, and our actions. They're all in the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a struggle for a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ. Maintaining self-control. Patience is a lot of struggle for brothers and sisters in Christ. But this is what God wants us to bring out of us. Patience and self-control, kindness, faithfulness, and most of all, love. So the witnesses are important. They were there. They saw how the body was placed. He was buried in that tomb, and the tomb could not hold him. He conquered the tomb, and he got up from the tomb. Let's move to these particular verses that I mentioned in the beginning. We are going to go right into Romans 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. So if you would follow along with me in Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This solidifies just with what was taking place that the witnesses saw. They saw this happen. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. He died to sin once for all. Now, think about that. He died once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God so as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. This passage in Romans 6 solidifies how we are no longer to live a life that continues to put Jesus on the cross. And I'm talking about the sin nature that we want to try to live from time to time. He died once for all. And so I just wanted to read this passage to show how, yes, dead to sin, but we are alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. We will resurrect from the dead. When we fall asleep in death, but we are alive in Christ. And yes, he is alive. Why? Because we know the scriptures tell us so. I want to share that we as believers in Christ Jesus have a great work. We have a great work out there in the vineyard, in this world of darkness, that so many people need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would come to fall in love with Jesus. God is a God who's planted seeds in the hearts of so many, that they would receive him as we come by to water the seeds that were planted, as we continue to plant seeds that fall on good ground, that the manifestation of salvation will come to their life. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life, that no one can get to the Father but by him. We will pick up this teaching track in detail, looking at his life eternal, the resurrection, and how the witnesses saw the body no longer in the tomb. But how does this look for you and me? Those same witnesses will see a changed life in you. They do not want to see the old life. They want to see the new life in you, that they will receive what you have, and that is Jesus Christ. But those witnesses are important. We have to understand that as the witnesses watch you and me, we are to walk humbly before the Lord, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the scriptures ask us, will a man lay down his life for a friend? Jesus did that on the cross. He laid his life down for you and me, and he calls us friends. So we will look at this lesson in conclusion, in detail, concerning those witnesses and what they saw, not when they woke up early that Sunday morning. So thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart broadcast. And always remember that the grass wither, the flowers, they fade away, but the Word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you. Continue to seek the Scriptures and grow in grace. And tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.